Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study, and we are coming with our study from Roland Springs Baptist Church. And our study today is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So we will be today in lesson number 11. So let us begin our study in prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we know that we cannot understand your word, your truths, unless we have the Holy Spirit living in us to lead, guide, and direct our minds and to give us understanding. And I do pray that everyone listening is being guided by the Holy Spirit, that they have become true believers in your word. And the study that we're on today tells us exactly how that we know that we are true believers if we believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And I just pray today that you will instill all of your word, your truths, into the hearts of each one that listens, hears your word, and help us, Father, to live it out and share it with all those that we come in contact with. And we give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Now, we want to look back and kind of see what we have learned so far about this letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthian saints. And we have learned that the letter is really in two segments. And chapters 1 through 6 was problems that had been reported to Paul. And it was about the divisions and the quarrels that was taking place. And that was in chapters 1 through 4. And then 5 and 6 was about not judging immorality. The church had immoral people and immoral things that were taking place in the church, and they were to deal with that, and they were not dealing with it. So Paul addressed that. And then in segment 2, which was chapter 7 through 16, Paul wrote about things in chapter 7, that was marriage. And then he wrote to them in chapter 8 through 10 about the idols that some of them were worshiping. And chapter 11 was about and traditions. And we learned in chapters 12 through 14 Paul taught about spiritual gifts. Now today we want to start with chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. And we'll read these verses, and then we'll look at how it begins and what it's about. Starting with verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. And after that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present," at the time that Paul was writing the letter. "But some have fallen asleep. And after that, he was seen by James, and then by all the apostles. And then, last of all, he was seen by me, Paul, also as by one born out of due time. For I, Paul, am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, but I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now, let's see what these verses are about. Paul starts out and he says, now, indicating that it's another subject in the second segment. And so what is the subject? The subject is Jesus' resurrection as a part of the gospel. Now let's look at these first 11 verses. What are the points about the gospel that Paul teaches in these verses? He preached the good news, the gospel, to the Corinthians, and they received it, and they stood in it, and they were saved if they held fast to it. And if they didn't, then they believed in vain, and they were not truly saved. And the main points of the gospel here is based on verses 3 through 4. And we see in these verses that Paul said Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. The fact that Jesus was buried showed that he was really dead. And then we see that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. His appearance to many after his resurrection proved that he was alive again. And in studying the scripture, and Paul writes now that those that he appeared to, he appeared to first after the resurrection to Cephas or Peter. Peter was called Cephas, and then to the 12. And he appeared to more than 500 brethren at once. And he was saying that most of them were alive when he wrote this letter. And then Jesus appeared to James and then to all the apostles. And according to the gospel, Jesus appeared more than once to the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to Paul, who also was an apostle. Paul considered himself the least of the apostles because he persecuted the church, and it was by God's grace that he became an apostle. God's grace in making him an apostle did not prove in vain, because his grace, God's grace within him, labored more than them all. And his concern was not who had labored the most, but that the gospel was preached. Now, Paul endured all things so that there was no cause for a hindrance to the gospel. And he became all things to all men so that he might win some with the gospel. And his preaching the gospel was stewardship from the Lord, and he offered the gospel without charge. Paul was preaching, not asking to be paid, and God's grace turned Paul's life completely around. Now, let's look at verses 12 through 19, and I'll read these. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been risen from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty. Excuse me. And your faith is also empty. Yes, this is verse 15. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And Christ is not risen. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life we only have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most miserable or the most pitiable. Now let's look and see what these verses are saying. We know that Jesus died for our sins. So here, what was the problem in these verses Paul addressed? How do they relate then to the first 11 verses? Paul started out in these verses by saying that some said there's no resurrection from the dead. And here in all of these verses, 12 through 19, Paul states what the result would be if there was no resurrection. He said that not even Christ has been raised, and that Paul's preaching was in vain. And third, he said their faith was in vain. And Paul said then fourth, that others who preach the gospel would be false witness against representing God, against misrepresenting God. And then he said that their faith would be worthless, and that they would still be in their sins, and that those who died or who had fallen asleep in Christ would have perished, and there would be only hope in this life. So how important then is Jesus' resurrection? How important is Jesus' resurrection is the gospel message? We know that it is the hope and the life. Without the resurrection of Christ, we have no hope and no life. So Paul is saying that if he had not rose again, that we would still be in our sins. And those that had fallen asleep, they would have perished. So there'd be no hope and there'd be no life hereafter. And let's go on into verses 20 through 28 and see what Paul answers, that because of the resurrection, what then do we know that he has risen? And so let's read verses 20 through 28. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, and after those who are Christ at his coming. And then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and authority and power. For he must reign, Jesus must reign, till he has put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, Jesus, it is evident that he, Jesus, who put all things under him, is accepted. Now then, all things are subject to him. Then the Son himself will also be subject to him. And this is talking about God, who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So let's go back and look and see what these verses are saying. It's all about the last enemy that will be destroyed. We have learned and know that there was a resurrection, that Jesus died and that he rose again. So he has risen. Christ's been raised from the dead. He is the first fruits of those who are asleep, those who believed in him and died. So the first statement Paul made is about those who were already dead and those who did not perish. First fruits of a crop indicates a harvest to come. So Adam was the first man, and because of his sin, all men died. All of us became sinners because Adam sinned, and that sin was put on all mankind that was born after. And then Christ is the first fruits of resurrection, and all who believe in him will live. So we know then that God sent his Son. He came, God in the flesh through his Son, took on flesh that he might go to the cross and die for our sins, and that he became the first fruits in his resurrection that all that believe in him. So what is the order then of these verses? We see that Christ has been raised. He is the first fruits. And those that are Christ will be raised at his coming. This refers to believers who die before Jesus' coming. And then after Christ's coming, the end will come. And the end is when Christ hands over the kingdom to God the Father. So between his coming and the end, he'll reign. We know that first he's going to rapture the church. The church is Christ's bride, and take them to be with him. And then he will come back at the end of the tribulation and set up his kingdom and reign. And during that time, all of his enemies will be defeated, destroyed under his feet. And the last enemy, of course, is going to be death. And all things will be put in subjection under him. And he'll abolish or destroy all rule and authority by the end when he hands over the kingdom. And the only one not subject to Christ is God the Father. And we know that Jesus is going to be the one that will rule and reign. And then after everything has been accomplished, then he turns it all back to the Father. Now let's look at the next verses, which is going to be 29 through 34. And we're going to see Paul's concern, his concern and his warning here. And starting with verse 29 of 1 Corinthians 15. Otherwise, what will they do who are baptized for the dead if the dead do not rise at all? Why then are they baptized for the dead? And why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? I affirm by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If in the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me? If the dead do not rise, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to the righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. And I speak this to you in shame. Now, Paul is saying, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived about the resurrection from the dead. In verses 1 through 11, here in chapter 15, Paul spoke about the gospel of Christ, his death and his resurrection. And then in verses 12 through 19, he said that some say there is no resurrection. And in verses 20 through 28, Christ has been raised from the dead. And then in verses 29 through 34 that we just read, he's saying, don't be deceived. So what is his reasoning? He offers two examples of people who believe there is resurrection from the dead. Those who are baptized for the dead. Paul didn't teach that this will help the dead. He merely stated it as a fact that some were being baptized for the dead. His point was that there will be a resurrection of the dead, and even those being baptized for them, whoever they were, realized this truth. And Paul himself, his life of suffering here on earth and looking to the future, he referred to his own life and all who preached the gospel. Why put themselves in danger by preaching the gospel if it didn't have any profit? If the dead are not raised, then people need to simply enjoy life to the utmost, to eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. In other words, he's saying, if there's no resurrection, if what we've been preaching to you in the gospel that Jesus came, that he died on the cross for our sins, and that he rose again the third day, that he is seated by the Father, and that he's coming back, then it would all be in vain. And why shouldn't we just live it up, so to speak, as we see some are today, because they don't believe there is life after death. And so, if there's no resurrection and no more life, you might as well live any way and however that you want to live. So, those who had come to believe that there was no resurrection had been deceived. This is what Paul is trying to teach them. And those who only live for this life are deceived, and they are bad company who can corrupt true believers. Those kind of people can bring corruption and deception to true believers. So what did Paul tell the Corinthians to do? He says to become sober-minded. In other words, to awake from their drunken stupor and stop sinning. For some have no knowledge of God. And he said that they needed to return to their senses and not be deceived by those who say there's no resurrection. They need to start thinking right. Stop sinning. Might be a command to stop keeping company and listening to the teachings of those that say there's no resurrection. The result of believing there is no resurrection is having no knowledge of God. Now let's go forward and read the next verses 35 through 49 and see what these verses have to say to these Corinthian saints and to us today. Remember that the scripture was written not only for those that they were written to at that time, but they were given to men like Paul and all the disciples that were given the scriptures to write it down through the Holy Spirit was for us too. So we need to know that all of this applies to us today. So I'm reading now verses 35 through 49. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is made alive unless is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There's also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, and it's raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, and the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust, and as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. So what are these verses about? What are the questions and what are the answers? How are the dead raised? And what kind of body do they come? Paul illustrates in these verses like everything that takes place in everyday life to show how that the resurrection takes place. And he is using here first the sowing of grain. And we know if you put a grain of corn in the earth, it doesn't come to life until it dies. and is planted. If you put that corn into the ground, into the earth, that grain is going to die. And then it will begin to put on life as it comes forth, but it does not come back as a grain of corn, but it comes back as a new plant, which we see in sowing corn. So in answering the first question, Paul answered the second one. He asked the first question, then he answered it by the second question. And he says, all flesh has different bodies. And he goes on to say, heavenly bodies, earthly bodies. There's the sun, the moon, and the stars. And they're different heavenly bodies. So resurrection of the dead is like that. The resurrected body is different from the body that died, like the grain. It is sown perishable. Our bodies are sown, this flesh, in the earth. And it is perishable. It dies. But it's raised imperishable. It's sown natural body, but it's raised a spiritual body. So Adam, the first man, became a living soul, and he had a natural body. And then Jesus Christ, the last Adam or man, became a living spirit, and he was resurrected. So the natural, the earthly body is first, and then the spiritual, heavenly body. So here we see how that Paul has illustrated that if we believe in the resurrection, we are believing that Jesus died for our sins and that God raised him the third day. And if we believe that, we too, in these perishable bodies that we're in, will be raised again once we are planted back into the earth. If we have hope in Christ Jesus, that is the hope of everlasting life, the gospel truth, then we know that we too will live again just as Jesus. He was the first fruits, but we will follow after him as part of the harvest of being born again. That is being born again. We know that we are born first natural of an earthly mother, but we will be born again once we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will have a spiritual body, not just a perishable body. So this is how that Paul is explaining to them that they must believe in the resurrection, because if there's no resurrection, then there is no hope for all. And we just want to end today now in prayer. And I pray that all of us have been given understanding through the Holy Spirit and through the Word, which is Jesus himself, that we may know that we have hope because Jesus rose again. We too will have resurrection bodies like Christ. Let us pray. Father, I do pray that if there be anyone here that doesn't believe in the resurrection, that has no hope, I pray that this lesson through the Holy Spirit will convict their hearts and draw them to you, Father. And I pray that you will give them faith to believe. And today will be the day of salvation for many that have never believed. We give you all the praise, all the honor, because we know that all things come from you, and that we are nothing without you. but we know that we have everything in Christ Jesus. And we give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen.